All right. What's up, guys? Hope all is well with you. Hope all is well. We were just on here right yesterday, last night, for the Michigan Wisconsin reaction. We were going to be on here tomorrow after the Michigan State Ohio game. Not Ohio, but Iowa game. But that looks like it was going to be postponed. And that was a game where, if you are a Michigan fan, I'm not saying that you always root for Michigan State, but you wouldn't mind them dropping off Iowa, because I believe, if I look at the numbers, every team would have at least two losses, except for Michigan. So they had two COVID. Michigan State has had two COVID positives. It was Steven Izzo and Mati Sissoko, and I believe they were roommates. Believe they were roommates, and because of that, I think that they weren't going to postpone this game. But then there was another. I believe there was another positive today. They didn't disclose who it was, I don't believe, but looks like that positive today caused the Michigan State Iowa game to be postponed to a later date, which is interesting. How do you guys feel about this hire, this Mike Hart hire? And can someone please explain the Zordich deal? Because he was the lead recruiter and the cornerbacks coach. Wasn't he in on the two big defensive backs from the 2022 class, I want to say? Am I doing okay? Not really, man. Not really. It's been kicking my ass, not gonna lie. I was real close last night to going to the hospital. I think that I could, like, it was really hard to breathe last night. It comes up on you quick too. It comes up on you so quick, so quick. But I've been doing these breathing exercises. I think that they've been helping to keep my lungs expanded. But this thing sucks. Like, it sucks. It really sucks. But I've been downing Gatorade like crazy, and I've been taking Tylenol and all that. Temperature hasn't been bad. It hasn't been terrible. Like, I've been steady around like 102.7, roughly. So it hasn't really gone to like 104, 105, like anything nuts. But it's been hanging around like 102, 103. But this thing sucks. And I have no clue where I got it from. How many days have I had it? I've had it. I got tested yesterday morning. I want to say yesterday morning. I got tested for it, and they did the one where they stick that thing up into your sinuses. But it was, I think I started getting it like on like Sunday. I started feeling, you know, when you could like feel yourself get sick, like you could like feel it. You could feel something coming on. I had that on like Sunday, had on Sunday. But then it was, and then Monday night, like it was bad. Thank God tested in. Yeah. Butt kicker, bro. Butt kicker, bro. I haven't had the headaches. I haven't had the bad headaches yet. I haven't had that symptom. I haven't had that. But it was hard to breathe, though. I got taste. I do have taste, which is nice. But it's weird. It's weird. Like, I can only taste certain things. Like, I just had dinner. Like, I couldn't really taste that. But I could drink a Gatorade, and I could taste the flavor of that. I don't know. It's very, very strange. It's very strange. Josh, what's up, man?
Yo. So, can we flip a little bit more into the talk with Mike Hart signing? Like, what do you think he's going to bring, like, to Michigan football and everything? I'm excited that he's coming back right. And everything, but I'm more wondering what you think he's going to bring.
Yeah, for sure. So, for one, I like the fact that I like the youth. That's one thing. I like the youth.
I agree.
The second thing that I like is that if you look at Indiana's carries, you know, they really go with one main back. And then they have other guys sprinkled in too, but they really went with like one main back. And at Michigan, there was usually two main guys getting the carries. Outside of like Caron Hignan that one year.
Yeah.
But there's usually like two guys getting the carries. And then this past year you saw Haskins was the best guy, but the carries weren't distributed in that way.
Yeah, I saw your tweets about Alabama, about how they're like, oh, there's three main guys that they give it to. And then you look at Michigan's game against Michigan State where there was like 14 guys in the box score where there's like way too many. Exactly. And it's like, Jesus Christ. Yeah, you know, like that's what I'm – yeah, you think that that's what's going to like switch to at Michigan?
I don't know.
Hope.
Because that's – hope. You hope so. I mean, you hope it's, you know what your weapons are, and don't overcomplicate things is one. And don't try to please everybody. Cause if you try to please everybody, you please no one.
Exactly. Yeah.
So I just think that they have to identify who their top guys are. One. And that's what you should be working with. If someone goes down, mm-hmm. If someone goes down, it's next man up.
Someone steps up. Yeah, someone steps
exactly.
up.
Exactly.
Do you, like, think that's why Tyreek Hill was so unhappy at Michigan as well and why he transferred is because he felt like he was one of the guys who just didn't get distributed to enough because obviously Michigan the last, like, 3 years, I think, is more apparent where they just didn't give it to their main guys. Like, we wasted Nico Collins's college career basically in my eyes. Do you think that's why he transferred?
And good for him. No, I mean, like, Nico Collins went to the NFL draft.
Yeah.
Are you talking about Tariq Black?
Yeah, no, I'm saying I think we wasted Nico Collins like college career, but like Tariq Black was one of those guys where he was that good where we could have just like kind of focused on him in an offensive scheme, kind of surrounded around that where he's like main option. And then, you know, he had the years where he was injured or whatever, but he was good enough to be very, very good in an offensive system that like was working for him, but he just never got that. Do you think that's why he transferred?
No, I think with Tariq Black, it was more than just a football issue. I think it was a locker room issue. I think it was a work ethic thing. I'm not trying to bash the kid, but you saw the Ohio State game where it is, I believe, third down, and he doesn't fight for an extra yard. And
I remember that, yeah.
So I just think it was – if you look at those first few games in his freshman year, you thought that, you know, we were on the cusp of something special, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he ended up getting hurt, and I'm not sure what that did to his mental. And it was actually a good thing that he did transfer, because, you know, sometimes you just need that just new start, you know, a breath of fresh air. But he went down there, and it sounds like a lot of those same issues kept popping up, where, you know, he was in the doghouse already, and I'm not sure if it was a work ethic thing. I'm not sure if it was, you know, not being a good teammate thing, but the same issues that he had in his last year or two at Michigan, he had down there at Texas. So I don't think that was a Michigan deal. I just think that was a kid who...
Him deal, yeah.
Yeah, he kind of got in his own way, unfortunately. Yeah.
And yeah, I have one final question before, you know, I get off with to transition to basketball. How real do you think this undefeated season is so far? Because you know, I've gotten very excited in, you know, in the past years before about teams, and this one looks pretty good. I think Shawnee Brown is one of the players that I think is very like a glue guy to me, at least in my eyes, where he comes in, impacts immediately. But like, how real do you think it is? Cause I know you're a former basketball player and everything. How real do you think this team actually is?
They're pretty real, and they had, you know, I've said this before, because of the build of their team, they had the perfect schedule for them. They weren't thrown in the fire too early with guys who, you know, they already came in with a different background. You know, they have two seniors coming in, transferring in, who didn't win at their old schools.
Yeah.
Two guys who've never been 4-0 to a start a season. Then they're going to join two other seniors who have played in a national championship game. Mm-hmm. You know, those are two different college experiences joining together in their fourth year. That's one. Two, you have a freshman coming in, 7'2", 250.
Insane, yeah.
You know, replacing a senior in John Teske, who has won a lot of games at Michigan. But, yeah, so you have a freshman come in like that, and then you have all these new pieces, and you have to gel. I mean, there's a reason they struggled a bit against Bowling Green. There's a reason why they struggled against Oakland.
Oakland, yeah.
And, you know, it's good that they played those teams at the time that they did, because they probably lose if they play better teams on that day. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But the schedule has really allowed them to grow and grow together and learn how to win. And the bumps that they've had in these games, it's a lot easier to have those bumps and win, because you understand like how quickly you could, you know, drop a game just because you didn't come in focused or anything like that. But it's for real. It's for real. But they have played, what, three ranked teams in a row. They have a fourth one coming up in Minnesota. And that's not going to stop, because it's the Big Ten, and that's just how the conference is going to be pretty much for the rest of the year. So,
yeah,
it's for real.
I think it was last night where you guys talked about how they seem more like not – they don't seem like a Big Ten team, and how that, like, gives such a big impact. As soon as you guys said that, I was like, oh my God, that makes so much sense, because that's exactly what I was kind of like thinking watching all of them. And it was super cool. They're like, that was a very good point. So yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, man. They come off more as like, more of like, I'm not going to say an NBA team, but they come off more of like,
I think you guys said ACC really and Big East.
Those really good ACC teams back in the day, where you have talent, you have seniors who have won, you have guys who embrace their roles, and just a really good overall team where, you know, offensively, all you're doing is running concepts and just letting talent just do their thing. When in the Big Ten, everything is based off of plays and structure and all this.
Yeah. And more old school
on flavor. Yeah. Right.
All right. Well, that's all I wanted to talk about. Thank you for having me on.
Thanks, Josh. I appreciate you, man. Let's get Dennis in here. What's up, Dennis?
Hey, Coach, man. I think it's I'm really excited about Mike Hart. He is one of the guys when Harbaugh first took over the job. But it's good that he got some more experience and he didn't pout about it. And he didn't bash Harbaugh in the media and really just kept grinding it out and got the Indiana job. Just kept doing what he had to do. I was really excited about that because what other way for Michigan, all-time leader rusher, and he's still young. And one thing about Mike Hart, like his last name, he played with the most heart. And I feel like at times that's been questions that I have about this team, where's their heart at and everything. So I'm really excited to see D. Edwards, the future of the running backs, to be able to play for this man and somebody that understands how important the rivalry games are and everything.
I'm with you there, man. I think that those are good points. One, two, to kind of piggyback off that, him being in the running back room, now you have guys who are going to look at him a little bit differently. I'm not sure who was the – was it Jay Harbaugh was the old RB coach?
Right. He's been moving around. Every time they hire a new coach, he just get moved around to another position.
He get moved to something else. Okay, so now the running back room is going to see someone who not only – competed in college at a high level, but they also did their thing too. And, the words hit a little different when you have someone like Mike Hart telling you something and believing in you than if, someone who never played that position did. And I think that's also going to help with recruiting as well, because what Michigan hasn't put a drafted running back since when? Since what? Mike Hart himself?
Mike Hart and Chris Perry. Yeah, it's been a while. Smith?
It's been a minute.
Smith got picked up in free agency for Miami Dolphins at one point. But outside that, it's tough.
if you count Denard, possibly.
right. But I can't even count that, because I think he was listed as a wide receiver, right? I want to say. But yeah. Then I think they converted him into a running back when he got to the league.
What about, too, seeing a Lloyd Carr guy get in there? I've been hearing a lot of talks about how Lloyd Carr guys don't mess with Harbaugh guys, and to see a Lloyd Carr guy get a job. And then I seen on Twitter today, I seen Charles Woodson tweet, what Marcus Ray is still up, I think, about getting the safety position job.
Who getting that job?
Marcus Ray. Like, it's on Charles Woodson's Twitter. He tweeted the Michigan football account.
What?
Yes, Charles Woodson been going up. Yeah, Charles Woodson said, hey, you got to go in there. I'm trying to find it. Yeah, he tagged him in it and everything. Yeah, he said, have them call Marcus Ray, Sam Webb, Michigan football, 10 hours ago. For the defensive back.
What?
Coaching search. Yeah, it's right up. We got like 300.
Marcus Ray been trashing.
No, Marcus Ray. Charles Woodson said have no call Marcus Ray for the defensive job, the defensive cornerback, defense backs coaching job.
No, but correct me if I'm wrong. Like, Marcus Ray has been trashing the program, though, right?
Oh, exactly. It's
crazy. Like, how are you going to trash the program for a few years and then, like, walk in there and work for him?
And that's what I've been learning about Michigan. It seems like some of these players are mad off a no that they got from Harbaugh in the past or from the university. They got a no, then they try to clean it up and one in at the same time. I don't know. I've been confused.
Yeah, man. I don't even know. So they're saying in the chat that that Mike Hart gave 60% of the carries to one back last year at Indiana. Matt Burns just said that. And I think that's I think that's going to be something else where, you know, he's going to have to work with Gattis. And if they bring in a co-OC, because that's not just Mike Hart, in my opinion. I think that also has something to do with the offensive coordinator as well and what they want. And, you know, you have to think, like as the running backs coach, like, are you in charge of who comes in and who comes out during the game and which packages and all that? Or are you just position coaching? And who is the one to overrule the other when it comes to these packages? Is it more the OC, or is it the, or is it the backs coach?
Yeah, I think we're going to have more of a concrete answer as you, as Harbaugh could continue to build out this staff as a co-OC, because then we'll be able to see, like, okay, this person calling the offense. Because I think Mike Hart just basically going to be in charge of developing his back, like you said, positioning coach and stuff. He's not going to be determined, like, he's about to get the 25 carries, because the offensive coordinator is going to be calling the plays. It might be a pass, or, you know, it might be two passes going into third down. You never know with whoever the offensive coordinator is going to be. So I think that's going to play a big part. But I do see, when looking at this, Michigan seem like they have a concrete plan. Harbaugh know who his staff that he's reaching out to. And that's one thing I see that he got down pat. I think he got his plan of who his staff want. And it seemed like a couple of them is in the NFL that's in the playoffs right now, too.
Facts. Derek with the jokes. I'm sitting here thinking, like, Taylor Anderson. I'm like, who was that? I'm like, Taylor Anderson.
Right.
Where are they coach at? And then you said she excels. And I'm like, oh, okay. We got Blonde Kardashian. Blonde Kardashian getting the mention.
Is there somebody that you want in, like, on the staff that's not on the staff that you think they should consider hiring?
I just need to know what happened with Zordich.
Yeah, that's crazy. We got so much stuff that we just don't know what happened, huh?
Like, I don't know how that came about with letting him go. But I do like the fact that they have gone to more of a youth approach and a different type of energy. And I think moving forward, I think that'll be great, especially when it comes down to recruiting. And Matt also said, Matt also just said that Jay Harbaugh was a decent recruiter as well, which he was. You know, they have had some decent backs, but they have to take those backs and develop them into monsters. And I just haven't seen that yet.
Yeah, I haven't seen it either. I might go catch the Donovan Edwards game this week. They play Belleville this week in the semifinals or something in high school. But Donovan Edwards, I feel like the one. I don't see some of him. He got that Mike Hart in him, like that swagger that you just can't teach. You know how some players, you coach them up, and you know some players just a dog. All you got to do is give him the ball, and he's just going to be a culture changer. That's what I got about Diamond Edwards and stuff. Hackens and all them, they nice, but they, even Charbonnet, it's like they cute, but I don't feel like they the one like I've been feeling like Diamond Edwards. Kind of like how Najee Harris was. I'm not saying he as good as Najee was, because that's just a grown man, but it's just that grownness about him where I'm better than you, I'm going to run you over, my team ain't losing today. Just give me the ball, 25 carries, and something good going to happen.
Has Zach Charbonnet transferred?
Not
officially yet, or no?
Not that I
don't believe so.
Yeah, not that I know.
Interesting.
That would probably be Big Ten news, if so.
Now, does he stay because of Mike Hart, or he got his mind made up?
I was about to ask the same thing.
I don't even know, man. I don't know. Like, I just don't like the fact that they just, because you piss off everybody by giving all these players a little bit of carries here and there. Like, either give carries or don't give them carries. Like, don't tease them. You know what I mean?
And I don't know. To bring up that point, not to cut you off, but the Minnesota game, he breaks out on the first play he get in, and then he doesn't see the field ever again. That just don't make sense.
Was it 75 yards first play and then like 20 the rest of the season?
He should have had 200 yards that game. That's crazy. He should have had 200 something yards that game.
That's crazy. That's crazy. So they said that get Sheridan the passing game coordinator. Isn't that like dropping down? Because he's the OC at Indiana, right?
I believe so.
I mean, like, would that be less than wouldn't even be a lateral move if he became co-OC, right?
But I think how Harbaugh got it set up now, it seemed like he's willing to push people over and saying, Gattis, I'm bringing him in. You're going to be the wide receiver coach and co-offensive coordinator. With the next move he do, whether it's Joe Moorhead at Oregon or whoever he bringing in, they's basically going to be like the main OC, and Gattis going to be working hand-in-hand with him.
Gotcha. I wonder if in Harbaugh's contract they gave more money to the assistants.
I think absolutely. That's what I think, even though people was laughing that he went down to $4 million, but I think that gave him more room for the coaches and the game plan to hire the right staff to, again, give you another chance to put your staff together.
Yeah, because Kyle said that Mike Hart was associate head at Indiana.
I got a question, too. Do y'all think this is set up, too, for Mike to move up at Michigan, too? Now it's saying, maybe 10 years from now, be the head coach or assistant coach?
I don't think they're in a spot to even have anything in place like that.
Yeah, we have one. Facts.
You know what I mean?
Facts.
Like, you know, like, it's not like a San Diego State basketball deal where, you know, Steve Fisher goes there and he's doing legendary things, and then they have a coach in waiting, because that's just how things are. But where Michigan football is, they, you know, we don't even know who the coach is in 5 years. You know what I mean?
Exactly. I get you. I agree with you on that. I'm interested to see, do we get more here from Oregon, because he did work with Gattis at Penn State. So Gattis and him will probably work good together, since they already had history working with each other at Penn State together.
Wait, who now?
Joe Moorhead at Oregon.
Man, are they still trying to get him or no?
I heard rumors, but I don't know. I don't know what's true out here. So I heard they got in mind, they wish to list staff that they're trying to put together, but he was one of them that I keep seeing come up.
Gotcha. The only thing about Moorhead is one of those, either Worthy or Jackson said something on their IG Live or their Snapchat. They said something about how they didn't want Moorhead, and if he came to Michigan, then like they wouldn't like that or something. I don't know, something crazy.
And what about the defensive position too? I was disappointed that we couldn't get Marcus Freeman, and Notre Dame snacked him up. He was on my wish list.
Yo, guys, I think the Moorhead stuff's pretty dead. Like, I know it's like Sam Webb's reported that there was nothing there, and I think Chris Ballas said some stuff today about him not coming.
Gotcha.
That's fine with me. That's fine with me. And do you guys know the status of Xavier Worthy? Because he was supposed to be an early enrollee, and was he having issues with getting into school, or what's the deal there?
I think it's kind of unclear. Again, Sam said that, like, if he was to bet on it, he'd say that he's not going to enroll early, but he'll still end up in Michigan. But, you know, the longer that type of stuff goes, the more I think that he won't end up here.
But it's hard for me to say just because he on his story so Michigan heavily and saying don't believe what y'all believe. He is on his story posting all the new team like JJ and all them, and they all in tech. Like Donovan Edwards came out and said, like, Harbaugh got my back and supported me to continue my state playoffs. And then after I finished my football season, I'm heading straight to Ann Arbor. So it's like there's so much stuff out there. It's hard to take. And then you see one thing on social media, it could get ran with that he's not coming at all, but really he's still going through protocol.
Yo, Caleb, what are you talking about? Do you see what Caleb just said? He said he heard something about Gaddis and Xavier Lord. Word these morning. I have a little.
I hope not. what's going on, then I think Gaddis might be out.
Is Gaddis married? Say that the Michigan recruit on since his freshman year.
Hey man, anything to keep the recruits.
whatever it takes. But yeah,
is that the equivalent of Harbaugh?
I swear he's married. Wait, what?
Is that the equivalent of Harbaugh sleeping at kids' houses?
No,
nah. No, but he's married though.
Yeah, with kids.
Married with kids.
Yeah, we don't want a Zach Smith situation. With Trouble in Paradise. But so really this is for like a question for like everybody in the chat, really. As in, with Mike Hart coming, do you believe that this is going to help boost the confidence with players also wanting to come to Michigan offensively? Like since Mike Hart, we really haven't even had any offensive weapons. Do you think that he also gives that boost for the rest of the offense recruitment?
Yeah, so I will say this about Mike Hart. Like, it is good to get guys like him in the building. Like, there needs to be a little bit more swagger. There needs to be a little bit more, like, we're Michigan, damn it, in the building. And I think he's definitely that guy. And obviously, he's had some good running backs at Indiana. But I think, you know, Donovan Edwards will probably be the most talented he sees. But I think just, like, overall, he's a good fit as a running backs coach, you know. I think it was mentioned before I came in here about him, like, potentially being promoted. And I mean, like, maybe one day, but like right now, like, I think as far as like just as a staff member, I think it's a really good fit. Like, very similarly to like when Michigan got Devin Bush senior, like, that was a guy who like a lot of the people in the program really liked. And obviously like had some cachet to him. So like getting those type of guys in the building, maybe not as a coordinator role, but as like just regular staffers, I think is obviously good for the program.
Yeah, I also think it's good too, just because two people forget Donovan Edwards is somebody Mike Hart recruited. He just wasn't coming to Indiana because it was a smaller program. So he's familiar with some of these running backs that Michigan have already because he tried to recruit some of them at a smaller school and stuff. And I think it's important that they got on just for the high school community too in Michigan and stuff, because you got teams like Belleville who's anti-Michigan now, and just Mike Hart understanding like what type of running back you need to win.
I'm sure Blake Corum's going to be excited about this.
Yeah, you need a horse. And then talent-wise, I feel like they had offensive studs from Nico Collins to obviously Tariq Black didn't pan out. They had Diamond People, John, Ronnie Bill. It's just the fact our player development and offensive schemes, it just didn't work out. And I think part of it was because of like quarterback play. Because you can have a running back, but you got to have a quarterback too. A running back is your quarterback best friend. So what I like here is that with JJ and Edwards coming, then we got a running back coach and stuff. Now we got to hire our quarterback coach because they kind of like go together. So this is a step. I think it's going to be so much other stuff goes into play to get those results, though. It's not just going to be the running back coach, because the running back coach is just a positioning coach.
Do you think there's anything to this Ryan Day to the Eagles stuff?
I hope so. But knowing Ohio State, they'll just get a better coach in there.
Isn't that sick?
Which is ridiculous.
Ryan Day's probably get a pay increase for turning it down anyways.
Yeah, the Eagles got a crazy wish list, like Lincoln Riley. They got a heck of a wish list. So,
I mean, the Eagles are crazy. They're a big NFL brand. Like, I think they should go headhunting like that.
Also, someone had a question. Did Mike Hart beat Ohio State? He never did.
No.
He never beat Ohio State, but those were like that 2006 game was one of the best games that I've seen as just like watched because there was so much.
I mean, 2005 was crazy too. A lot of people forget about 2005. The Anthony Gonzalez catch.
Yeah, man. But like they were in pretty much every game. So like, no, didn't beat him, but you know, he wasn't out here getting 30 balled.
Okay, so I know I can't be the only one. When I first seen the Mike Hart signing, it was more so like, finally, we're getting firepower, somebody with passion about the big games and the rivalry games. I feel like that's one thing that's missing from Michigan, that just me growing up seeing this, like I always seen it. It's like it's gone since Harbaugh has like just, wouldn't say failed them, but hasn't progressively gotten better each season. Like it's gone the past two seasons, and I feel like he'll bring that back just for the whole team, like the aspect of running out, smacking the banner and all. Like I feel like he'll bring that energy that we seen with his teams when he played.
Yeah, I agree. I'm with that, because watching Alabama and these teams play, they got the team first. Yeah, the NFL there, but it seemed like our players that's been coming here just been happy just to go to the league and haven't been all in with the coaching staff. So that's why Harbaugh hiring Mike Hart, I felt, was a good move and is a good look, just because we got to get people to buy into the culture and want to build a new culture here. But committing to the team instead of committed to, oh, I'm trying to make it to the league, stuff the stats, or my stats not down, I'm not blocking because I didn't get the ball, all the little stuff. It's just buy into the team.
Yeah, I definitely think that. I mean, Hart was a fiery player. I remember him, and even seeing him on the sidelines at Indiana, you could tell that he had a real deep emotional connection to the players that he was with, and you could see that they had the ability to kind of like look them in the eye and like create that connection there. And I thought that Josh Gattis was going to bring that, but he seems like a pretty reserved guy. Actually, he's not really fiery, and of course we know Harbaugh himself is pretty subdued. So I definitely think that putting some more lightning rods on the sideline will help to some of those moments where we're all looking at. I know that we were discussing during some games where it's like, it just looks like nobody's really kind of like plugged in. So I think that'll be good. I also look the tradition element. I think, you know, I think at this moment we kind of had this juncture where it seemed like Michigan could be going in a totally different direction. It looks like they're kind of doubling down. Part of me was disappointed, but and seeing it doubling down in this way, in a way in which you're kind of bringing in someone who's younger, who's going to bring some enthusiasm, who's going to be able to reach directly into the communities that we need to be really actively recruiting in. We need to win the state of Michigan every year, and so I hope that Mike Hart can help with that. And also just, yeah, I do think that someone you were talking about earlier, like just having a running backs coach, that, to me, that's one of those positions where the guy has to have done the job well to really be able in this day and age to get through to kids. Because especially if someone's like exceptionally talented, like a Donovan Edwards, like, you know, he's needing refinement points at this point, and he's needing like situational expertise. And that's what I hope Mike Hart can bring to the table. So I'm excited about the hire. You know, to be honest, I was kind of, I really wanted Harbaugh to go, but there was no other better option. It seems like the process was real stretched out, so I didn't like that. But, you know, if they're going to go make some decisive decisions, go ahead. If right after the playoffs end, we see some other nice additions to the staff, then that'll be a nice sort of bookend to a great recruiting class.
I mean, they need to hit the transfer portal hard. And, I mean, I think if he could learn anything from Juwan, it's that the impact that some of these like grown 22, 23 year old men can have on a roster is huge. And so, I mean, if they're not pulling in 2, 3, 4 transfers, you know, I don't think he's doing his
Hey, just to piggyback on Ryan Day to Philly, I wouldn't touch the Philly job with a 10-foot pole if I was any head coach after what they did to Peterson. That was a whole crazy. I can't wait till it comes out how that all happens, because you know it's going to come out. It looked like Peterson blew the game under the direction of the front office, and then they fired him. So I wouldn't touch the Philly job. So I don't think that Day's going anywhere. But if Urban gets hired, I do think he's going to take some people off that staff, which has helped Day on the defensive side. I think Larry Johnson may be a candidate that he may reach back to go get. So that's what I would think.
You see, do you think it's lame that we're hoping that Ohio State gets worse? Honestly, like, is that, I mean, does that feel like resignation to you?
No, they're gonna steal. They'll lose Larry Johnson. They'll go get the best D line coach available in college football. I mean, that's just who they are.
Hey, Darnell, you see Alabama? You see Stark at Texas took Alabama offensive lineman coach with him to Texas
today. Yeah, but that doesn't matter for Nick Saban because he just reloads. I mean, look at his team. I mean, he has people that are former head coaches that come to Alabama and be analysts. So he'll just reload.
The thing with Ashley's point, though, is that, like, yeah, I mean, I think in order for Michigan to get to Ohio State's level, like, Ohio State needs to take a step down. Like, I don't think Michigan, how they're currently comprised, can, like, get to that level. Like, they had an opportunity in, like, 2016, and they didn't take advantage of it. And then now, like, Ohio State's, like, taking 5 steps forward and Michigan's taking 2 steps back. Like, we're not going to be able to catch them unless, like, they take a step back. Like, it's just not going to be able to happen at this point.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Everybody agrees with that, the distinction is just too great at this point unless Ohio State falters.
Well, Ohio State start a new quarterback next year in the Big Ten. Even though we look so bad, I'm not saying it's going to be us, but the Big Ten is going to be like, if you're going to do something, try to do it next
year. I mean, they're bringing one quarterback in the country in a couple of years. I mean, they're going to be good. They're going to be good for a long time.
Yeah, I was about to bring that point up. Like, bro, they reload at all the positions. And to be real with you, everybody on this panel right now, I'm pretty sure can agree. Let's just be real. If we'd have played in the national championship game, God forbid, the same thing. Alabama's on a different level, right? And they made Ohio State look childish.
Pedestrian. Very
jokes. Huh?
Made them look pedestrian.
Yeah, I was actually making jokes. I was like, hey, did they hit up did Madison and and them hit up Don Brown and was like, hey, how did you defend Alabama last year? And Don Brown just gave them bad information, because it just looked like every time Alabama had the ball, they want to score. They was like, all right, we're just going to walk down the field and score.
That's what the first time they looked like a number 11 team. They made them look like a number 11 team that day.
That was pretty ugly. I mean, it wasn't a good showing for them. I hate both those schools so much that I was like, I'm always torn. Like, but Ohio State falls at the bottom of the hierarchy of any school I would ever root for. But in that instance, I was like, well, I do want them, because I live in Atlanta, so people are always talking shit about the Big Ten. But that didn't help us at all.
But Ashley, I noticed something out that game that Harbaugh had going for in the 2016 game that Alabama used against Ohio State. They confused their defense with their formation switch. The NFL formations and lining up and disguising their coverages and stuff. And I feel like Ohio State kind of just, they couldn't identify nobody off the ball.
Looked befuddled. Yeah, you could tell that those simple just switches just had them kind of like bewildered out there. It was actually kind of beautiful to see Ohio State look so hapless.
Oh, it was great. I enjoyed it.
I do want to ask anybody that watched, because I stopped after the second game this year. But from the two games that I did see, especially the Minnesota game, I saw some plays that Alabama ran that I've seen Michigan run. Now, I don't know if it's that we just don't run it to the same execution as Alabama, but I saw some like motion plays. I was like, hey, they did that against Minnesota, and then we didn't see it anymore. It's like, what is going on?
Was that the war, though? Because it seemed like Gattis had, like, it seemed like there was some type of lock, padlock on the playbook this year where it seemed like we started off kind of with a little bit more flexibility and freedom and a little bit more energetic offense. And then it kind of just went to like these really bad checkdowns. Like,
I think the game ruined them. I think it absolutely ruined everybody's confidence and it made everybody question things. Because, I mean, you can go back and watch the highlights from that Minnesota game, and they really are like, it looks like a different team. Like, they're running Milton like effectively. Like, the offensive line looked awesome. And then, like, the Michigan State game happens, and it's like, all right, like, let's just throw everything we did against Minnesota out the window.
Yeah, I agree with you, Drake. Go back to the very first play they ran for Blake Kerm, where he motions out and he gets like 15 yards on the play. Look at that play, and then go look at the Devontae Smith touchdown. It's the exact same play. It's just we stopped running it.
And part of it, man, some of this stuff's kind of simple as this quarterback play. When your quarterback's not making that read, it's not like when Harbaugh was calling offense in early 2015-16 or whatever. When it's a play action and your quarterback knows it's a play action, I just got to hit him. With Gattis' offense, it's like you got to go through your reads and know, like, I'm drawing them that way, and you got to be able to make this throw or make this play and be precise with the ball and precise with it. And I feel like the Alabama players, they knew exactly what their job was and their role was, and they ran, they executed. That was flawless. With us, it's like, should I throw it in the middle? Should I hit him on the out route? It's just
I don't think that Joe Milton has any chance at starting this year.
Is he going to transfer?
Yeah, that's what I thought. But, I just hope that they don't throw. I understand what everybody about to say, number five, whatever he is. I just hope they don't throw JJ to the wolves and ruin him before he even gets started.
Yes,
right?
Please.
Make him the messiah of the program, ruin him, and then we're looking at this again saying, oh, my God, like, do we have the quarterback of the future or not? Like, give him some
You kidding me? That's a Michigan tradition, Darnell.
Yeah, you're
Michigan
right.
Tradition. We'll have Heisman let's talk the new guy, we'll have and then he gets up. Ruined.
We'll have Heisman posters up the first week of the season.
Yeah, because when Chad Henne started as a freshman, it was so much infrastructure in place that he was able to succeed. We had Braylon Edwards. You got Mike Hart. You got the running game, Chris Perry at the time before Mike Hart. So it's just like so much different like stuff was in place for him to start as a freshman. I'm with you on that one.
Bro, even look at Cade this year. Like, Cade had that great game, and everyone's like, oh, we found our quarterback. And then the next game, he gets, like, split in half.
What's the prognosis, though, for actual, like, the season next year? With all of COVID and everything still seeming to be...
I have no idea. I don't think anybody knows yet. I think the NCAA is going to cross their bridge when they get there. I think right now they're focused on basketball, which is... important because they haven't even gotten that all the way.
It's kind of looking ugly in basketball right now, I feel like.
Yeah, it's starting to.
It's no way a team should fly to a school and then find out when they get there that they're not playing the game because of COVID. That's unacceptable.
I think
it's a difference between football and basketball because you're playing once a week on Saturday versus basketball got more games. Or like a Wednesday, then you play a turnaround play on Saturday. So many games and travel included.
Do you think?
I think the hardest thing is these delayed positive tests. I think are really the hardest thing because like earlier today, like was announced that Michigan State had a couple players on their basketball team test positive, and I was like, well, they got to cancel the game, like they can't play it. And for a while, like it looked like they were still going to end up playing it, and then they ended up canceling it. But like the fact is like when like. You test people and you get a negative test and people are like, oh, I tested negative. I'm good to go. Like, that's not how it works. Like, I have friends who have tested positive after, like, testing negative, like, a couple times in a row. And, like, all right, like, what? Like, if you get a negative test, like, you can just act like everything's good? Like, you can't do that.
Hey, Caleb, I understand it might be a sarcasm, but – no way do we have the same talent that Trevor Lawrence had at Clemson when he walked in the door to it. Got talent. But we ain't got that talent, bud.
Nope.
I'm looking at the schedule next year. I mean, we start off with Western Michigan, then we play Washington the second game of the season. Then, our first big team game, we play on the road against Wisconsin.
I mean, is it going to be Cade starting that game? Like, who's going to be even starting?
Yeah, this might be one of our most important spring practices ever.
Man, just put Hunter at quarterback. He owns Wisconsin anyway.
I just need Milton to work out with a QB coach that's not tackling children.
All the time. Am I wrong? Wait. Am I?
He's not. Devin Gardner's not a QB coach.
No. No, let me tell you something. If I went to Michigan, there's no way in hell I'm working out with Devin Gardner. You got Tom Brady. You got Chad. You got, man, I would have called John Navarre, Drew Henson before I called Devin Gardner. Goodness. I would have called Brian Greasy and said, come off ABC and help me.
Yo, that one video, bro, that had me in tears. I was dying.
Hey, and I didn't get a chance to ask you because you had Stu up, but what's your overall – you might have already talked about it. I know this is a little bit off topic, but what's your overall ceiling for this basketball team? I went to sleep yesterday and forgot about the game, and then I woke up to like 50 text messages like Michigan dominate.
Yeah, man. So, like, they were – Squirrel was 26-23, right? Then – Michigan goes on like some absurd run, like absurd, like
43.
Yeah, it was 43-6. Yeah, which I've never seen a run like that in basketball.
Especially against Wisconsin, it was unreal. Like
23-0.
It was unreal. It was unreal.
I mean, yeah, you might know better. So has Wisconsin even lost by 30 in a game?
I mean, they only lost by 23. They lost by 23. That was the final, which is stupid because it was never that close. I'm sure they have in like one of those like non-conference games.
Is Joanna coach of the year candidate now?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Oh yeah.
Oh, yeah, he's been amazing. He is the coach.
Do you think that I saw an article a couple of days ago? I think it was Seth wrote it. Do you believe that the empty or semi-empty arenas has benefited Michigan because they're young and they're playing in that? You know, they have young players playing in important roles.
No, because they only have one young player playing an important role, and that young player is still 20 years old. I mean, they're a pretty old team.
Man, if they had fans, Wisconsin would have lost by 60 yesterday. They would have stopped the count.
Yeah, that's true. So if the tournament is going to be a limited attendance tournament, then do you think that's going to bode favorably for Michigan or no?
No, they're all in Indianapolis, right?
Yeah, it's going to be doing like a bubble in Indianapolis, I think.
I know Indiana is a little more like conservative politically. Like, I'm sure they're going to have fans there.
Yeah, they said there's going to be fans, just going to be limited fans.
Yeah. Now, I think that's where no fans going to come and play, where the tournament, we got the lower seeds having a better chance to upset a team without playing with fans.
You think so?
Might not get intimidated. I think they might not, I think they might not like get intimidated.
I feel like at the tournament, like when you're a lower seed, like the fans really get behind that team.
Yeah, I feel like whenever I go to the tournament games, I'm always rooting, and like the crowd always gets behind like the kind of like the hard luck team that's out there, you know, like the St. Francis's or whatever that team with the sister. Oh,
yeah, and then the fans from like opposing teams get into it too.
Yeah, because you know it's split. It's usually split like four teams, or it's split like probably. So then that way,
I'm just interested to see how teams come from behind. If they down by 10, when the crowd usually rally, that momentum switches off a dunk or something, and you create a turnover. You usually have momentum to pull your team back to come back. So I'm interested to see.
So the closer teams, the teams that have like the more emotional teams, like among them, they'll probably benefit a lot of that, right? Because they're on the sideline still, so they'll be there. They'll be their sideline impact. impact will have a much bigger impact than it would have ordinarily.
And look at the difference.
I love seeing Michigan yesterday on the bench. Like, they were amazing on the bench.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about, Dre. Look at the difference between the basketball team clapping like, and supporting a team versus our football.
Bro, if the football team had any... Hold on, bro. Hold on, man. You can't even make that comparison. By the time the football team look up,
I'm wondering, like, are they all on Zans? Like, what happened? Like, did they somebody poison the team dinner or something? Like, they looked gorgeous out there.
Man, our football team look like last chance you right now.
Basketball is a little bit different, though. I mean, I got to see.
No, football is supposed to be more emotional. Football is supposed to be. Football is supposed to be that super hype thing. Like, I mean, that's the way I feel like growing up. You saw it. It was like everybody was pushing everybody in the shoulders. And true, but under Charles, like I said, that's how it was. I feel like under Lloyd Carr was like that. Actually,
I saw LeBron James shoot a three, turn around, look at the bench, and celebrate with the bench last night.
That was great.
Like, basketball.
He turned around. Didn't he say, like, I'm going to make it or something first? Then he turned around, hit the shot, and then turned back around. I believe that's something like that. Yeah, that was great.
My whole point down there was just the togetherness looked totally different. You could tell when a team playing for each other and playing with each other, man. That's the difference I see. That's my.
Hey, Ben puts in the comments, winning helps that a lot. I agree, Ben. When you lose, you don't want to clap for nobody.
Oh, God.
No, but I'm pretty sure something happened last year. It was one of the last couple games where Michigan made a big play and Harbaugh had to beg guys to, like, cheer for their teammates.
Yeah, I read an article about that.
Yeah, Gus.
I forget who said that.
At the Fox game, Gus and all had to – they was talking about it during the game while it was happening.
Yeah, definitely. Hey, this is a slight pivot or whatever, but I just wanted to know what you guys thought about it because I hadn't had a chance to talk to people who are really into college football. What do y'all think about the way targeting is enforced right now?
It's horrible.
I think it's too inconsistent.
And do you think the remedy of expulsion is like an appropriate remedy, like all the time?
No, I think it should be treated like basketball has flagrants. Like if it's like you're launching your body through the air like a missile and you're like definitely trying to like hurt someone, yeah, be ejected. But just based off of poor tackling, one time should not warrant an ejection.
I just think that's crazy. I think it's crazy. That play that the kid from Bama got kicked out on when he hit
Jordan Battle, blast from the past.
Yeah, when he hit Rucker, I was like, wait. So what is he supposed to do in that situation? Your instincts tells you to drop your head. The dude is 6'4". He's shorter than him. His instinct is telling him to drop his head.
Well, and that's the way that most of these young men have been taught for a really long time. When did this switch come? Because I feel like I have a brother he's a lot younger than me, but that's the way he was taught to tackle. He would be in the NFL right now if he continued playing. So when did the change come in coaching where they said, okay, you now have to start tackling this way? Like, are there some young men who are playing college football right now who learn how to play football tackling the other way?
I don't even think it's about the form necessarily. Like, there are plays that happen in football where guys cannot react any other way than like the way that they are, and sometimes that ends up in targeting. And is it intentional? No, but like to Ant's point, like it doesn't mean they should be thrown out of the game because their helmet makes contact or because it looks like they launch. Like, it's crazy.
Well, it's just so subjective, man, because they didn't call the targeting against the Ohio State defender that broke Devontae Smith's fingers.
You can't tell what is when it's going to be or when it's not, and then they look at it for a long time. It seems like there's a bias towards, of course, they like we call it in soccer, like there's a bias towards confirmation. So whatever the first call is what they usually are going to reiterate, because they're the ones reviewing their own calls. But, like, I just I think it's one of the worst elements of the game right now. And it's, like, something that's entirely, like, creative.
Yeah,
I agree with Ant, because it should be, like, a flagrant one, like, targeting one, targeting two, because, first of all, these players are not getting played like the NFL. They're not getting paid at all. Then you got the championship game. This player got set out the whole game. He should be able to set out 1 to 3 plays or a half or quarter, something. And then it's just terrible that the players work so hard. They playing during the COVID season. They can't see their family and friends. Then they get one mistake and they out the game. That's just ridiculous.
Crazy.
And they'll never get that back. You know what I mean?
And yeah, and it's terrible. You see them crying, walking out. It's just like, oh my god! Like I can't imagine. Of all the NCAA does a crap ton of terrible things, and consistently does, and will continue to, I suspect, for as long as it exists until it's abolished because it's a cartel. But like that is one of the worst
game when that play happened. That was like a big deal at the time.
Yeah,
it was huge. It was huge. The other question I have is, what do y'all think, how is Michigan going to be prepared to help the players with the name, image, and likeness? Because I know I feel like that's going to be something that's going to differentiate programs and really be a big recruiting advantage for some.
And Mark Emmert, I believe he tabled that. I think Mark Emmert hasn't put that through based off of what he recently said. So they haven't
started,
like,
and like there's nothing, because I've heard some other schools already have like whole departments like set up to help the players like maximize their income that they can earn through it, and like enhance their social media profile and everything like that. You're saying Michigan has nothing?
Well, I approved something, and then
yeah, so like
it's gonna be an NCAA-wide thing now.
He did say that. He said that, you know, there's been a delay on it. But he does say that, you know, there are going to be changes in the future. It's just a matter of when, honestly. But to your question, though, it's going to be big. Yeah. It's going to be big. Because you have to understand that, like, you know, like you can. The amount of money to be made is wild, is one. Two, I've said this for the last couple years. If you're in sports and you are youth growing up, you need to start your own Instagram page. You need an IG, and you need to build your brand. You need to build something that's not Twitter, but it's like, whether it's like YouTube or it's Instagram, anything like that, because companies pay so much money just for you to post something with their brand on it. Like, what's her name? Kendall. Okay, so Kendall Jenner, right? She posted an orange square. She got wired $250,000 for it.
That's actually like a discount for her posting. Normally she's like $1 million for a post.
Yeah. So
it's just the whole point.
Yeah.
Right. So if someone wants you to, you know, wear a shirt during an interview, or they want you to, you know, post something to your IG and they're going to pay you 10, 15 grand. Like, no, it's wild. It's what there's so much money out there to be made. And I don't think people understand it. The type of money that you can make just being on social media. Like,
yeah, I mean, with Michigan having such a huge network and alumni network and such a great business school there, you would think that they would already be ahead of the game and have already like the preeminent name, image, and likeness marketing agency kind of already set up there. Now, I know the university itself and they cannot basically broker the deals, but there's – there should be, there's definitely like some very interesting ways in which like the school itself is going to be, the schools that are best at doing this and at facilitating the athlete's ability to generate these monies are going to like way distance themselves against the other ones. And that's one way. Like, I know we were talking earlier about like, you know, can Michigan ever catch Ohio State? You know, this is to me a seismic shift that's going to happen in college sports. And so you're talking about like openings, like that happened maybe once in a generation. I think this is one way where Michigan should be able, like we, like there's no reason why Michigan cannot be the number one school at this. Like that's everything about it, we should be.
It should be a part of your recruiting pitch. It should be a part of the pitch. Like, hey, maybe we can't broker deals, but we're going to make sure that you'll be verified on every platform, which automatically boosts your social media page.
So do you believe, so I guess this is a question for you. And do you think that this, you know, we always have people that claim about, you know, people getting paid under the table. Do you think that this levels the playing field? Because I'm going to be honest with you. Schools like Texas, what's going to stop the local dealership from paying Sam, I know he's about to graduate, but Sam Ellinger $20,000 to come do a commercial for him?
Nothing.
I think it needs nothing, to be
but that's the whole
draft.
Point. That's the point of it. I think they're still working on finalizing the regulations for it, of course, there'll probably need to be some correlation to like what is a reasonable payment based on like the nature of the action that's the endorsement. But the nature of endorsements like that are that they are, can be like really wild and outsized, right? It's based on your brand's belief and what that person can do for you. So if Coke wants to come to Devin Donovan Edwards and say, hey, we'd love to put you in an ad and have you be the face of our new athletic water brand. Who's to say what that should be valued at?
Well,
right, is valued. Hold on.
So Ashley, so I think you're spot on with that. And the thing, I think a great example is Adrian Nunez right now, who like does not play on the basketball team, like literally is a bench warmer right now, but he's got like a million followers on TikTok, and you know, would he have a million followers if he was at maybe another school and didn't have the popularity of being a Michigan basketball player? Like maybe exactly. Not. I would lean. But the thing is now that he does have a million followers, like he can basically garner more interest from like sponsors and stuff like that because he has that platform.
Exactly.
He can do whatever he wants now.
Yeah, I agree with you. I feel like it's not going to be an even playing ground because it's going to be like teams like Michigan, Ohio State, Alabama. The big schools are going to be able to win because you got a bigger platform and everything. Like
exactly.
That
so they TV can say business. They can say like, hey, listen, you come here, we can promote you better, we can get you more followers, and then in turn you'll be able to make more money because you have a bigger audience.
Right.
And I'm saying Michigan should be able to do that better than Ohio State. That's one thing that we should be able to do better.
That's
than
not
Ohio.
Should be able to.
We should. Yeah, but they should be able to.
We should be able to do things.
But I guess it then reminds me of what they just went through in the AU Nike scandal. Is basically what's going to happen now is Nike is going to come in, Jordan is going to come in and say, hey, kid, at the AAU level, now we really can pay you, but you got to pick one of these schools. So now you're going to see a lot
of you own something in Darnell.
Now you're going to see kids clustering up schools like, all these schools are going to be Nike, or all these schools are going to be Adidas because.
Hey, dog, that's how it already
no,
is.
That's already
no,
going that's on. Go. They're already separating them here.
That's how it already is. It's already like that. When it comes to hoops, that's how it's like. I'm not sure about football, but when it comes to basketball, like if you look at the class of 2020, I want to say, like of the top 25, I believe. I believe like 24 of the top 25 either went pro or went to a school that was Nike. And that's not a, like, that's
coincidence.
That's not a coincidence.
No coincidence.
You know what I mean?
Well, no. That's what I was asking. So now you'll probably get the same thing for football. It's because, like, think about J.J. McCarthy or that kid that's down here in Texas, the number one quarterback in the nation. If I'm Nike, I'm like, bro, make sure you go to a Nike school. We're going to give you 50 grand. We're going to give you 100 grand to be the face of Nike.
Yeah, easy. That's easy. That's easy money, man. That's easy money. One thing that, you know, these athletes have learned over the last few years especially is that they're more in control than what they thought in the past, if that makes sense. Like, they are in much more control of themselves, and they're more in control of the narrative than what they previously thought. And a lot of that is because of these NBA players.
Yeah, basketball, you know, a lot of these
NBA guys are, you know, you saw it today where James Harden gets traded to the Nets, and they didn't give up Kyrie or KD for him. You know, you have the NBA players, and this is a lot about LeBron and Clutch and what they've been doing, and, you know, they're giving the power to the players, and you're starting to see that throughout these generations now, where, you know, these kids are growing up like, you know, like, I have the power. Nobody can really dictate what I do, and I'm going to make the most out of the situation that I put myself in. So
you have somebody like a Mikey Williams that might not ever need to ever play basketball in the NBA to ever actually, like, capitalize to the
Drake used him as a promo.
Yeah, for his album. The thing is the players have been getting exploited this whole time. So I don't really call it a power shift. It's really a power reclamation that needs to have occurred to begin with, because I still don't understand any system that's based on, like, free and exploitive labor.
Yeah.
Or underpaid labor. Or even a system such as the NBA, even where the players are well played, where I still believe that they're exploited, because there's no need for them to have a system of owners. They should have a players collective and they can operate their own league. But I do love the shift. I do think it's interesting that it's coming from basketball. I think it's interesting when you think about it. The nature of the kids who play football still today versus the kids who play basketball. I've just been trying to learn more about, like, kind of what are the demographics of high school sports. And you find way more impoverished kids still playing football. You don't find a lot of, like, way less middle class parents even allow their kids to play football. So you're having more educated parents come into basketball. They're already, like, looking at this as a business. They're already thinking, like, okay, and they're not sitting there thinking, okay, my kid is just going to be exploited by some coach.
Right.
I look at football,
it's a lot more impoverished people, a lot more single parent families, where there's still going to be, I think, a slower process for change, especially given that the NFL itself, their players association, is still really woeful.
We don't need to look any further. Like, Josh Christopher is, like, where we can look right there. You know, like, that's a guy who, like, understood the whole business of, like, brand management, like, when to post, like, how to milk a commitment. Yeah. Like, he knew every intricate detail of how to gain clout, gain followers, and build a brand. And, like, you know, he didn't end up going to Michigan, but he pulled the Michigan fan base in so that we remember that guy's name for a long, long time.
And more reasons. All I see is more reasons why our football program have no excuse to win in the future. Because this is all getting set up for them to recruit better, to win everything. Because especially in the city, in Michigan, in the city of Detroit, there's no recreation centers open like I used to be for these people to go play basketball. That's why you see so many football players now. Like, it's turned to a football state, people going to Cass, Belleville, West Bloomfield, River Rouge, because the access to play football it's more opportunity there than they don't having the opportunity to get going at the school and finding a recreation center to go play basketball, like how St. Cecilia used to be open and stuff. The opportunity is less than none in these urban neighborhoods. So for Michigan, all I see is more opportunity for them with all the stuff that's coming.
I hope they get it. I hope they get it. I mean, this might be the one little break they get. It's not too often that you have a major rule change that allows things to be disrupted. And so for reasons both, I think, for player equity and for my desire for us to be Ohio State.
You either do that or you break the rules, one or the other, right?
That or whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. At this point, though, it's got to change. So, yeah. But interesting. Interesting talk.
I had a question about the defense side of the ball. Do y'all want to see Dexton Hill stay at safety, or do y'all want to see him get moved to corner?
Depends on what scheme is being ran with this new defensive coordinator. I mean, nobody knows what type of scheme he's planning on running. If it's just going to be his scheme alone, I heard that he might be a co-defensive coordinator, so just depends. I'm like Ant. I really want to know what's going on with Zordich, because I thought that Michigan might have had a chance with Jackson and Will Johnson. Now I'm pretty sure Jackson is probably going to stay out west and probably go to USC. I hope he goes to USC and not Ohio State, but we'll have to see in the next coming, you know, when he decides to pull the trigger. But I'm really interested to see what happens with Zordich.
I want to have a better use of our safety. I mean, I do feel like he's underutilized at the safety role. You know, he was one of our better defenders, but does he have the speed to play corner, you think?
He was our best corner last year. I mean, this past year.
I know.
Yeah, he got the speed to play corner.
But that doesn't be safe. I mean, our defensive secondary was pretty.
Dexton Hill is our best defensive athlete. He could play corner, but I'm with you, Darnell, about it depends the scheme. Depends on the scheme.
Yeah, I just worry about where we headed in this, but I guess we just signed Harbaugh to 5 more years. So, hey, gotta sit there and wait, figure out what's going on. I don't know.
Thank God for this basketball success right now with Juwan Howard, because it took me out of my concussion protocol.
Shout out to the basketball team. I do think that they
No, wait. Would you say is this? I don't know. Historically, maybe is there been a worse Michigan football season ever than this one?
Yes.
Oh, most definitely.
Yeah. Oh, heck. Yeah.
When
Brady III was our quarterback?
They lost to Appalachians. No.
No, Brady.
Rich Rod.
Oh,
Rich Rod.
I forgot. I'm sorry. I blacked that out.
Ashley, have you forgot? I don't think I'm hearing back.
You know, it's a repressed memory. Lost
to Maryland.
Yeah. But this one was okay. So
yeah,
that
but
was
this
bad.
Was this was way this was
this
way,
was more demoralizing though, don't you think?
This was different. This was.
Hey man, no, this the first different. Year in. What's it, 10 years? No, 9 years, 8 years that we didn't lose to Ohio State. So I'm taking the positives, baby. We held Ohio State to 0 points.
We ducked Ohio State. Like,
and we led Alabama at halftime, too.
we waved a white flag on a college football game. Like, that's depressing.
Hey, I don't, like, I can't confirm nor deny that we waved a white flag.
No, we did. We would never, we'll never have, even if we beat Ohio State 3 years in a row, they're always going to remind us of that.
I don't care what they remind us.
That's fine with me. Because this. The fact that they didn't play us this year is driving them crazy, and yep. I love it.
They lost a national championship, and they didn't play us.
I feel like you gotta take it like a man, but I think you gotta follow. You gotta let the chips fall as they fall.
I hate to say this. Now I've been so mad. I was thinking about how Maryland failed on that 2-point conversion that would have sent us to the Big Ten championship automatically.
Hey, Scott. Scott Bell tweeted out 2 days ago. He says, "Am I mad that Ohio State went from from Jim Tressel to Urban Meyer to Ryan Day with no drop off? Hell yeah, I am. But Can I be mad that Michigan went from Beeline to Juwan Howard with no drop off? Nope. Two different teams. I root for one. I hate the other. Thank God for basketball, man. Beeline left the program.
Yeah, man.
Great program. I mean, a great shape. Juwan is done.
Yeah, I know. But see, wouldn't it be cruel karma, though, if things come back and they end up canceling the tournament because and Michigan doesn't get to
that
win.
Would be so. That would
right?
Be.
Wouldn't that? See, that's what I'm saying. That's the type of thing that happens when you put that energy in the atmosphere.
If he could get this Big Ten championship, I'll be cool with that, too.
Wait a minute, y'all. Okay, I'm sorry. I feel like y'all sound like a broken people right now.
What you expect? I'm broken. I feel like my girl cheated on me so many times, and I still with her.
She said we sound like a broken people. We are broken.
We are broken. I need to take the vaccine.
I shouldn't say. I actually had like it's funny. I had a fall. I was sleepwalking and I fell down my stairs, and so I went to the urgent care to get like my wounds and my face got all like busted out of bandages. They had to give me like a domestic violence screening because they were like, no way that somebody didn't hit you, like, no, whatever. And I was like, no, I did this to myself. And I was joking that I used to use the expression that being a Detroit Lions fan is like feeling like an abused woman, which is a terrible joke, which I will never make again. It's very insensitive.
That's why I stopped being a Lions fan. Because you can't be a Michigan and a Lions
fan. You do feel battered in a way, not in an abusive sense, but like just you keep coming back for more.
Hey, y'all, what would be a success in y'all mind, or what do y'all want to see that will please y'all going for next season, whether it's record wise or performance with the schedule next year?
The team to have a pulse. And play like they give a damn. That would be enough for me. I'm going into next year. I have no expectations. I don't expect them to beat Ohio State. I would hope that we beat Michigan State, but I don't have no expectations after this year. Kind of just took it all away from me.
Yeah, I would like to definitely see an energetic change. I want to see the team look excited, engaged. I want to see, even if they're in tough moments, no like mental collapses at that time, but them still showing the ability, some resolve. I think they should. I would like to see them beat Michigan State, and they may Penn State next year too, I believe. So both of those teams. I want to see them beat every team they should beat as well. I'd like to see a bowl appearance. And them play well in the bowl game, assuming. And I'd like to see them also continue the solid recruiting path. And I want to see the offense develop a little bit more maturity. Those are the things I'd like to see.
Gotcha.
Oh, and our defense actually like kind of begin to come with a more pressure approach.
Yeah.
I'd like to see some sacks this year. Sacks would be good.
I want to see a quarterback take over the job. And I want to see develop leadership. Who's going to stand out and break away, lead the team, develop leadership, and develop reestablish a culture in the team and stuff. And obviously, I feel like I don't care how bad we is. I want to beat Michigan State every year. I know we might not beat the team in Columbus every year, but I want to beat Michigan State every year. I want to beat Michigan State next year and just establish a culture, like you said, Darnell, like effort and a post, man. Get back. I know we got to take baby steps, but I want to start taking steps on the field in the win column. Nothing need more victories. It's time to like start winning.
Did McCarthy early enroll?
I believe that is he was supposed to. Yeah, I believe that's the plan. He's supposed to.
Interesting.
And can you make sure? I know you know you don't talk to him a lot, but can you pass along to basketball that? Because we lost to Michigan State and didn't play Ohio State, they got to beat them by a combined 60 points. I mean, it's payback. Like, I have to throw that in MSU fans. Be like, yeah, we
it's
lost
like a parlay. You feel like we can still y'all play superiority if we beat them in basketball, even though we lost.
Yeah, we got to. Because, like, when Michigan was down, even when they was when they were down, and when we were down in basketball and we beat them in football, Michigan State fans, oh, we win national championships in basketball. All right, buddy. The tables have turned.
Hey, Ant, do me one favor. Please let me know when you do a basketball locker room, if Juwan Howard win a championship, because Tom Izzo is in trouble right now. If Howard get one championship under his belt, because he already, this state of Michigan, I'm telling you, all these high school coaches love Juwan Howard. But if Izzo, I mean, if Howard get a title and Izzo still sitting on that one title, Izzo is in trouble. I already think he's in trouble now, but he's going to be in big time trouble. Please let me know about that.
Izzo looks stressed, man. He looks stressed out there.
Because the boogeyman coming from him, he thought he had an opening when B-Line left, and it looked like it's going to get worse. I mean, because look at the team. Look at the recruiting class next year is bananas. Yeah. It's like, oh, my God.
I also, to Izzo's defense, I really like the guys that he has coming into. I really do like those guys.
But this year, I mean, for this current class?
Coming in for 2021.
Okay.
Yeah, man. So, because their issue right now is their backcourt, and he has three studs coming in for the backcourt. One is a five-star, and Max Christie, he's real, real nice. Jaden Akins is nice, and Pierre Brooks is also nice. And they need those guys bad. Jaden Akins could probably start there right now.
What do you think about, I know you got to wrap it up, but do you think that, what's the kid's name? Do you think the Chets is going to Gonzaga?
Yeah. I think that's a done deal. I do think it's funny. After every Michigan game, there's like a segment of fans that goes, I hope Chet is watching this or something stupid.
Well, no, it's the fans. I think that's a good deal. Josh Christopher, and they'd be like, "Hey, bro, how you liking it at Arizona State?
Now? You good?
You good? All right?
You good?" No, but it's their class coming in is very, very complimentary. And Chet is, I think that's a done deal. I'm excited about about the route that he goes for the class of 2022.
Brownie? The route goes through Brownie.
You said what?
Through Brownie.
Brownie is 2023.
That's why he's 2023. No.
Yeah, I don't think Bronny. I to be honest with you, I don't think Bronny's going to see a college campus.
If we get Bronny, though, that would be so.
You don't think so?
He would be. He
no,
wouldn't.
I don't think his dad's going. I think his dad's going to let him go straight pro, or he's going to let him go G League.
Bronny in the G League just doesn't have the same swag. Although we'll see what. I don't know.
You got to think about it. What we talked about earlier with the license. Like
his game isn't like that though. Which. Yeah.
His game and you don't think his game is like that to go G League, or you don't think that it's like
that? No, I don't think so. I mean, have Neither. You seen those kids on the Ignition? Those kids are already men out there. Brownie still looks like a person who would develop in college.
Yeah, right. But he's only in the 10th grade though. Still got 2 years of growth.
Yeah, but
where, those guys look like that. He's at, great.
Where he's at now, I mean, he would be a. For sure, college person. For sure. Bronny is not like a one and done type of prospect. Yeah, he's not like an Amani. He's not like Elijah Fisher. He's not like Mikey Williams or DJ Wagner. Like his game is not like that yet.
He doesn't start. That's the number one indication, right? He doesn't start on his high school team.
I think he does start this year.
Yeah, he started this year. I mean, his team last year was loaded, though.
He didn't start last year, but yeah, last year's Sierra Canyon team was nuts.
Yeah, they was loaded, bro. And the year before that, they were loaded too.
Well, so Jawan has deep recruiting ties in Chicago too.
Yeah. Yeah, he does. Yes, he does. He's on a kid named AJ Casey, who's real, real nice.
How long do you think we get to keep we can hold him before he gets called back up to the league?
Jeff Goodman was on here with me last night, and that's what he talked about. He was talking about how you know NBA teams will probably start calling him as early as this at the end of this year.
He's a purpose-driven call. He has work to do. He's there to bring the flair back, bring the legacy back. So I think he would not leave before accomplishing the mission that he set out to accomplish.
Right. And, you know, like, I kind of told Jeff, I was like, it's doing those things where, you know, Ward has to probably extend Juwan sooner than later to, like, lock him in. And it's not really a money thing. It's a commitment thing because he's not hurting for cash, you know. He was one of the first – he's either one of the first or the first person to sign a nine-figure contract in the league. So he's not hurting for a change.
That's Do you think Beeline wishes he could ever take that decision back?
Nah.
No?
Nah, I don't think so.
Really? The way it played out?
No, because that was a challenge for him because he's coached at every level and he succeeded at every one except the NBA. And for some reason, I don't think he's done coaching either. But if you look at his history, right? His history showed that he doesn't stay more than 5 years anywhere. At Michigan, he stayed for what, 10, 11 years?
Exactly.
Or more than that, like 12 or something.
Yeah.
So he loved Michigan. He loved it, but I mean, he more than overstayed how long he usually hangs out. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I just feel like sometimes, you know, you realize that you were in your sweet spot and you don't realize it until you're gone. Yeah, I understand always searching for greater challenges and stuff, but the great thing about coaching is it is a new challenge each year, right? I mean, it's a new crop of kids. It's a new competitive landscape. It's a new environment. It's a new set of rules, new adaptation. So, you know, you can – I just feel like if I'm kind of king of my domain, always doing well, it's exciting each year. He had a mixed bag of teams. Some were greater than others. They a significant history of success. Then you go from there to, like, maybe not saying the jump to the NBA was wrong, but to go to the Cavs organization.
That was a weird jump.
Like,
that was a weird jump for sure, but that's a part of the whole challenge.
And I felt like I felt like Juwan Howard really loves that job at Michigan, really wanted this job. And I felt like he's going to be here. I felt like we're going to hear rumors every year about him, about the NBA. Unless Pat Riley come calling him again, I think he's here for a minute. To be honest, because I think he's in love with it. And so many people in the city and all the Jalen Roses, all his friends, they all got his back. I feel like he's invested in this program.
I also think it worked out for Michigan, too, because certain kids, I mean, like y'all just talked about, he has ties in Chicago. I remember reading an article. It was like Chicago wouldn't touch Michigan when Beeline was there. Like, So, like, I think that you are getting – a certain group of kids that you might not have gotten if Beeline was still there, right? Because Beeline wouldn't have recruited those type of guys. So I think it was a win-win for Michigan, you know. Beeline went to the Cavs because that was probably the best that he could do at the time. And, you know, it just didn't work. Unfortunately, the team just didn't get behind him like they probably should have.
You know what yesterday was, too. I mean, Scott Bell posted on Twitter, he said, 20 months ago today, John Bean, I love Michigan, and Michigan hired Juwan Howard to coach a team that had his three best players leave early. It entered year one unranked, and rival Michigan State was preseason number one. But one team has a better record since Bean, I love, and it's not Michigan State.
I love it. You're right. That is like the most. That's like the most positive thing that's actually been occurring this whole like year. This 2021 is Michigan basketball. They're like the they're the beacon.
I guess our whole athletic department. I guess our whole athletic department probably like happy because of the basketball. You got a popular basketball program right now, and you got a traditional football program. So from all our sports at Michigan traditionally does well. So he probably happy on that type.
I just feel like we're in a reversal of this is what Michigan was. Athletics was 20 years ago. You had a popping football team and you had a traditional basketball team that was coming out of sanctions. And it was kind of like, we okay in basketball, but we can get it done in football. And now it's like, we okay in football, but we're going to get it done in basketball.
Yeah, I just want Warwick gone now. I'm not a fan of Warwick, man. So,
yeah, I don't think he does the job. Like
Jawan Howard, that's the one negative result of Jawan Howard's classes. He's insulating.
Is you basing that on Harbaugh because you wanted Harbaugh gone, or you saying overall?
Not even just that I wanted him gone, but the management style, the lack of communication. Like, I mean, Michigan is a public institution, and like, there's paying these people a lot of money to spend like the public's dollars, and so I think he owes like accountability to actually explain kind of what's going on and to help us to understand like his decision making process.
And one thing, though, Harbaugh didn't lie. Harbaugh did say he was coming back.
I can't stand. I can't stand Ward, man.
I'm not gonna let somebody really put me on hold for like 6 months and then come back to me and be like, "All right, cool. Like, yeah, I'll do like that." Like, I mean, that's just not me. That's not my style. Like, if we're not cool, we're not rocking, and I can't, then all right, bye. Like, I'm gone. So to me, it seems like Harbaugh kind of put Ward on hold for like a while. And Ward just sat there patiently waiting, tapping his foot. And I'm like, hello, this is Michigan. Like,
I think Kyle just said it best. The best thing Manu has done is hire Jawan, and he didn't even want
to
do it.
He didn't want to do it. Yeah, he had to be forced to do it.
He had an Ivy League coach as his as the number one candidate.
His style is all off to me. Like, it's like he doesn't have any swag, and that filters down to the whole program. Right, so every program and within the whole
but this deal with Harbaugh did show me that Harbaugh want to win at his alma mater. Like, he it's important for him to win. He don't want to lead the program. He want to win here. It's important.
He knew he messed up.
Wait. This showed you that he wanted to win. No, what has he been doing for the past 6 years?
No, I'm saying like I feel like he could have left, but I feel like when he took the pay cut and stuff. Obviously, when they worked out the deal, I feel like he's invested in that he really want to win here. Even though he take a lot of slack and everything, credit that he could take the heat. But I feel like he do want to win here, man.
I think he took the pay cut because the two jobs that he was eyeing in the NFL told him, "Hey, thanks, but no thanks. We're not bringing you to the Chargers. You can give that up. Like, we want a young guy." So focus on our quarterback.
Darnell, do you think the players was lying when the players said that in the recruiting, Harbaugh told, like, I know Donovan Edwards said that Harbaugh told him that he was coming back. No NFL rumors wasn't true. No matter what job opened up, he was committed.
No, I don't think that Donovan Edwards was lying, but I don't think that Harbaugh, if the team that he wanted to go to would have opened up, Harbaugh would have took it. I think that was the reason why he stood out, was he was trying to get more money out of Michigan, and it was like, bro, we're not paying you like a top 2, top 3 coach, and you putting out 4 and 8 seasons, and you can't beat Michigan State and Ohio State. So you're going to take this pay cut. I mean, it really does show. That's why I don't like I really don't like Ward, is because he basically gave Harbaugh hey, take this or get the hell out contract. And Harbaugh was like, all right, well, I'll take it, but I'm going to take it on my terms when I want to take it.
But was you a fan of it being a performance-based contract, though, in war defense, where he got to perform to get this?
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense, but...
that was obvious, so that's not shrewd negotiation by Ward Manuel. I mean, there was no way in good conscience that he couldn't have done those things. Right. And especially given the fact that he had a total leverage because Jim Harbaugh didn't have any other opportunities. that he was seeking.
That's my honest opinion, y'all. I was just nervous about replacing Harbaugh with a coach that Ward didn't have a plan in place to replace Harbaugh and bringing the coach
don't you think
in
he should have had a plan,
and messing
though?
Up the
that's
whole.
That's the point, though, Dennis.
And messing up the whole. Yeah, okay, I'm with you.
Like I'm saying, like, it's not like this
that's
is
what
the
we
first
pay
year
you
that
for.
Harbaugh
that's what
he's
we
been
pay
underperforming
you.
Every year he's been at Michigan. So to now
be honest,
know
it
that
like
knew
Ward
that,
don't
knew
want the
thing, he knew that his contract term was coming up. Years ago, right, when he signed a deal, he's been watching him underperform this whole time. He's watching him look like a zombie on the sideline. He's watching the program fall into disarray. He never had any backup plan lined up whatsoever.
Man, at Michigan, it's just...
And then he waits till this year to come and do, and now try to expect some heroics to occur. Like that doesn't. That's
Ashley,
not a solid plan.
Actually, with Michigan, it seems like it's more behind it. It just seems like it's more than one person calling the shots behind closed door.
But that's the problem. That's the problem. It shouldn't be that. That's what they pay Ward Emanuel for. They pay him to make decisions like that. Like when people ask me all the time, they're like, "Well, if he fired Harbaugh, who would you want him to pick?" That's not my job. I don't get paid
right.
millions of dollars to oversee an athletic department. That's what Ward Emanuel gets paid for. So he needs to make the decision and find the best person for the
now,
job.
Now, do you know Ward contract?
Why did he wait till this year? He should have been courting like alternatives. Like even if Harbaugh was doing great, I would still be courting alternatives because we know Harbaugh wants to go to the NFL. So even if the best case scenario, you would still need alternatives to have none developed that are viable at this point in time makes no sense. Like it's just not even a good, just from a program stability standpoint, he's not doing the work that needs to be done in order to keep to steward the program.
Man, I saw Michigan didn't care once the recruiting signing day came and they didn't release no statement. They basically said you either come with us or you don't come with us.
Jennifer is right. The first thing you do when you get a big win, you land a big contract, is make a great hire. It's to plan for the day that you possibly could lose that person. That's what all the big schools do. You don't think that Alabama and Georgia and Texas, look at what Texas did. Texas fired their coach and hired Stark like within 24 to 48 hours of it. It was like, yep, you gone. You're not winning. So let me go ahead and hire your replacement. That's what competent ADs do. I agree with you, brother. You do, but when it's not working, you can't hold on to a person that's in year six. Now in year seven, he can't beat one of his rivals consistently, who I think we have better talent than, and you don't win against Ohio State at all. You're not even competitive the last 3 years you're in Plano.
I think anybody here is saying, like, just have a hair trigger, right? I mean, clearly, I believe that Harbaugh has had ample opportunity. And I'm not even just talking about the specific huge coaching failures that I've seen, but, like, just actually seeming engaged, actually creating a spirit of encouragement and of excitement among the players. Like, he's not even doing the basic things that you would expect a high school coach to do a lot of times. So that, in addition to like just what seems like a lot of late game terrible play calling, which is what he's getting paid the money to do, that's what he's there for, is to make big calls at the end of the games. He's fumbled almost every single opportunity he's had to show his coaching expertise at that level. And so it kind of comes down to, is he really a good coach? Did he just have a good season?
Brody, just to answer your question, I'm not arguing for Matt Campbell, but you can't make the statement of nobody's beating Ohio State because they've lost to lesser teams. And those lesser teams, you've beaten.
Northwestern played in the Big Ten championship game.
Northwestern played a closer game than Michigan has played in the past 3 years. Wisconsin has played them close. Purdue beat them.
I will put 55 on them.
Michigan State beat them with a third-string quarterback.
In Columbus.
In Columbus, at night on the road, with fans. So you can't make that argument and tell me that nobody is beating them because they're getting beat. We're just not beating them.
Yeah, right now, the best thing Michigan had to do is look at themselves in the mirror. This is what this year is all about. Look at yourself in the mirror and fix it. I don't care what y'all do, whether you got to cut your hair, whether you got to curl your hair, y'all need to fix this look. I don't care what they do coming into September next year. They better fix this, man. They better fix this. That's all I'm saying. I know he got the five-year contract, so this is what we got. This is what we got to roll with. So I just want to see them win at the end of the day. I don't care what they do. I don't care if he got 3-10 win seasons out of 6 years. I don't care what it is, but we got to perform, man.
If they get less than 7 wins this year, then he got to go. Buy the contract out. He's gone. I don't care what happens. I can blow the whole program up. It's just I can't, from a psychological standpoint, deal with this like abject mediocrity anymore. It doesn't even look right in Michigan colors. It's just terrible. No, that's it. That's why he negotiated that low buyout. He's got to use it. Now, I question whether he has the cojones to do so. We shall see.
All right. On that note, I appreciate you guys coming in. So we've gone almost 2 hours just, you know, talking about this whole football situation. And I do appreciate you guys coming in. We'll see about the next locker room. Oh, big shot. Mac McGlung just hit a dagger on Texas. Jeez.
I see it. I'm watching that.
Yeah. Texas blew
it. Who are they playing?
Texas Tech.
Ooh, wow.
Ooh, wow.
Well,
yeah, you feel better. Take care of yourself. Steam.
We wish you well.
Citrus, and steam. Those are your two best friends right now. Just Gatorade. I know that it seems like it's helping you, but you need actual just citrus. Just like suck on orange slices, like they do when you're in high school, middle school basketball.
Right.
And steam as much steam as you can take.
Most definitely.
Please, steam. Steam is key. Keep your lungs open and do your breathing exercises.
I got something definitely that might make you feel better, Ant.
What's up?
Can you hear it?
Yeah, I'm crazy, man. I'm about to hop off, man. All right, I thought I was about to hear somebody.
Man,
Tank for Kate. Hopefully the Pistons tank for the number one pick. I'm not a Pistons fan, but I would love to see something nice for Detroit. So hopefully they keep losing.
All right, I'll see y'all, man.